Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He has broken death and grave. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
He is our risen King. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Friends, it is such a beautiful night to be together as we celebrate the greatest moment of human history, God's love for us in breaking open the tomb of Jesus and our hope of our own future resurrection. I'm so grateful that this evening my mom and dad are present from Pennsylvania. They've come in for the first time and to be with me for Easter for 10 years. They're in the second pew over here. And I'm so grateful to you, mom and dad, because growing up, we always went to the Easter Vigil. This whole Sunday morning thing, I didn't know what that was. It was always the Easter Vigil, the big Easter Vigil, to welcome new people into the church, to see people baptized. A great blessing to be part of that in college, to see so many students entering the Catholic faith and believing in Christ at Penn State University. You know, usually one of my lines before I have a wedding in this church, because there's people from all different kinds of denominations and faith backgrounds, is I often say in the beginning of a wedding to kind of just loosen up the crowd, you know, welcome everyone. If this is your first Catholic wedding, don't worry. It'll be the best 3 hours of your life. And their eyes kind of got real big because, I mean, it's only a little over an hour. But for the Easter Vigil, this will be the best 3 hours of your life here tonight at St. Rose of Lima. I want to give special recognition to Stephen and Seamus and Woody, who are entering into the Catholic faith tonight and receiving the sacraments. I want to welcome all of your sponsors, your family, and your friends. Grateful you're celebrating here with us, with these three men. For Woody, whose baptismal name is Lee, you know, he's been married to Molly for I don't know how many decades, but, you know, Molly told me something recently, like, yeah, I found his name was Lee. It was like last month. I found that it's actually his name, but everyone knows him by Woody. But Woody has already been a Christian and has been part of our community for a long time, but now is joining with his wife Molly and with all of us in the fullness of Catholic faith. Seamus is being baptized tonight. He's encountered the truth of Christ as the way, truth, and the life in a powerful way. And I've seen him joining with our parish in prayer many, many times, even during the week, and deepening that connection with his Lord and Savior. And Stephen, who's also being baptized, has also known the Lord before, but is now taking this next step in his faith journey. And also just a few weeks away from his wedding day, when he and Jackie, his betrothed, will be married in the month of May, and they'll become one flesh in Christ. All of them have very different stories, but all of them have been gathered by the Lord and have been brought here to this holy place, to this church, to this altar, to this family. We talk about people going on pilgrimage sometimes, and going on pilgrimage means that you're traveling somewhere, but you're not traveling aimlessly. You're traveling to a sacred place. You're traveling to a holy place. You're traveling to a place to encounter and meet the living God. And the story of salvation that we just heard tonight in our scriptures is the story of us as people, men and women by the Lord, created by God, made for love. It's the story of us who were at one time wanderers, now becoming pilgrims. Wanderers are not pilgrims. A wanderer is someone who is moving along without a goal, without a home. A wanderer is a nomad trying to find rest, but despairing that they'll ever find it. But a pilgrim is someone who is confident that they are moving through this world towards God, towards the Holy One, with great hope and conviction. The story of salvation is actually not one of trying to recapture an earthly paradise. The Garden of Eden, as beautiful as it is, actually pales in comparison to the heavenly kingdom that we're called to now. We journey now by faith, not going backwards, but going forwards towards the heavenly city, to even share in the divine nature. In the beginning, God did create all things good and beautiful. God told us to fill the earth, to have dominion. There was no need to travel anywhere, because everywhere was home, everywhere was love, everywhere was friendship with God. And all the earth was a garden. But we were given a choice to love or to turn away from love. And our primordial parents and all of us, born of them, have turned against the Lord God and have been exiled from our original home. Cain, the brother of Abel, who slew his brother out of jealousy and hate, he became a nomad, an exile, and a wanderer. God put a mark on him so no one would attack him, but Cain traveled east, east, east to the city of Nod, which is never mentioned again in the Bible. There is no city of Nod. The word just means to wander. He was made to wander where there was no home, no rest, no place where he could have confidence and hope that he would arrive finally. All of us bear the wounds of our first parents and the wounds of Cain. Where do we find home? Where can we rest? Where do we find sure footing and confidence that we will find communion and love again one day? It begins when God speaks to Abraham and calls him to a promised land, makes Abraham into a pilgrim, gives him a place to go to and a promise. And Abraham has to respond in faith. He cannot see where he is going. But he does hear the word of his maker, and he trusts him. And he becomes a pilgrim walking towards that promised land. Sometimes, though, when you travel, and when you travel in strange lands, people want to take advantage of you. And in the book of Exodus, we heard about how the Hebrews were enslaved to the Egyptians, that they longed to get back to the land of promise, but they were being crushed by an oppressor. But God heard the prayers of his pilgrim people. He came to rescue them, and he rescued them through water. Water which brings death to the Egyptians was the conduit by which God brought them on their pilgrimage towards the promised land. And on that journey, they needed food and sustenance and nourishment. And God provided for his pilgrim people with manna from heaven, with water from the rock, divine protection in the cloud and the fire. The prophet Isaiah, through this prophet, the Lord says, "Come to me, all you who are hungry. Why pay for what will not satisfy? Come to me, receive grain, receive wine, receive oil, receive every good thing without price. I will give it to you. I will nourish you. Put your trust in me once again." And then in the prophet Ezekiel, we remember how even though God had blessed his pilgrim people in 1,000 different ways, they still strayed and disbelieved and tried to make their own way, but only became wanderers once again. They were scattered among all the nations of the earth because of their idolatry. And God said, "Even though the house of Israel has profaned my name, because the places they would go to, they were known as the people of Yahweh, who weren't in the land where they should be. They were cast out of their promised land, and people would say, 'These are the people of Yahweh?' They weren't able to keep their home. And God said, 'To restore the holiness of my name, I will bring you back from foreign nations, I will cleanse you from your impurities, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit.'" And this is the key to how God makes us true pilgrims on our homeland journey. That it is not a geographical location on the face of this earth to which we are called. It is to an everlasting kingdom of life and love. The key to maintaining the promise of God is not in a frontier or a border or a slice of land. It is in having a new heart and a new spirit given by God to live out his holy law, to be obedient in love, to walk the journey in faith as God called Abraham to do many, many years ago. In fact, the new heart and new spirit that God gives us actually means that heaven begins to dwell inside of me. That my goal is not simply to go to heaven, but my goal is to become a person of heaven who carries heavenly love within me to everyone I meet on the journey. Mary Magdalene discovers this joy as her heart and spirit, which were dead, come alive again as she meets the risen one on Easter morning. In her pilgrimage, when she discovered Christ and was healed by him, she knew this is the one to follow. I will follow him to where he goes. It's really Jesus who is the true pilgrim, sent from on high into our broken world, into our messes, into our darkness, who then finds us as the good shepherd and divine physician and leads us back to the Heavenly Father. She follows him, the true pilgrim, and when he was crucified and died, she had no idea where to go. It felt like wandering all over again. But God raised his son from the dead. He destroyed and shattered the bonds of sin and death. He gave hope to the world, hope to every pilgrim who wants to come to the heavenly kingdom. And Mary Magdalene became not only a pilgrim once again, but more than that, a messenger, an apostle, a missionary, sent by Christ to proclaim good tidings that all are called to go on pilgrimage to the heavenly city. Brothers and sisters, Seamus and Stephen and Woody tonight are going to be sacramentally configured to Jesus, that in their baptism, the water of Christ, the water of God, will wash away sin and open up a conduit on your holy journey on high. In confirmation, they will be strengthened for their apostolic mission, strengthened to walk the pilgrimage with Jesus, to live out a life of love and service as our Master taught, to bring others into this journey towards heaven. And in receiving the Eucharist, they will be nourished by God himself in the body and blood of Christ to always have enough food for the journey. And you too, brothers, will be sent on mission. Where God will send you, to whom God send you, what this will look like, you cannot see yet. You may have an inkling, you may have a sense, but God has amazing things prepared for you, because you will not only be pilgrims, but you will be missionaries, apostles and messengers like Mary Magdalene. Brothers and sisters, just a few days ago, we woke up to terrible images of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore falling into the Patapsco River after that ship hit the pylon. So much destruction, so much just damage and disruption from just one point of connection joining just two pieces of land. When death entered into the world, our connection to God was severed and broken. But in the resurrection of Christ, God builds us a new bridge, an indestructible bridge that spans between earth and heaven. The bridge is a person. That bridge is Jesus Christ. And by entrusting our lives to him, we can cross as pilgrims from this world into the arms of our Heavenly Father. The sacraments put that bridge inside of us. They make that bridge indestructible, and we walk across that bridge together, not as individuals, but as a pilgrim people. Tonight, let us pray for these brothers as they are configured to Christ, as he calls them forth and nourishes them and seals them with his Holy Spirit. For you, brothers, believe in faith that God is with you right now, that Christ has great plans for your life, And as he has drawn you here on your pilgrimage, now as you receive these gifts and this strength and this love, draw as many people as you can to the Holy One. Draw as many people as you can to Jesus Christ. Draw as many people as you can to this place of rebirth, the waters which give divine life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And never doubt that God is with you and loves you and will never abandon you. Jesus Christ is risen. He is the bridge that spans the chasm of death, and he is with us always, walking with us as pilgrims.